Welcome everybody to the House Rules Committee. It is April the 8th and it's 9:04. And present for the record is Representative Newman, Representative Gardner, myself, Representative Dahlstrom, Representative Olson, got it right this after 8 years, and Representative Curtula. Representative Herron is in another meeting presenting a bill and will be joining us as soon as he is able to be here. So we have just three items of business today. And I, for the record, I want to state that the last meeting that we had, I gave the committee quite a bit of leeway on discussion and things, and I'm going to accept full responsibility for that. We all know the purpose of this committee is technical changes and just things. It's not whether the bill should pass or shouldn't pass, it's technical changes to the committee. And so I just want to put that on the record so we can stick to what we should be doing here. So we have a CS before us for CS for Senate Bill 16. I've got it together with Representative Olson's help. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I'll move to adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 363 rules for purposes of discussion.
All right. Are there
all objects for discussion?
All right. Great. So we do have an objection from Representative Curtula. Do we have someone here to speak to?
Madam Chair.
Representative Newman.
We're at backslash C.
That is correct.
Charlie. Thank
that
you.
Is correct. Do we have someone here from the department that wishes to speak to this?
Madam Chair.
Representative Gardner.
Can we first just have a brief explanation of the differences between the rules substitute and resubstitute?
Sure, and that's what we will have from the department. Okay. So, all right, thank you. Please come forward.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'm actually from Representative Herron's office.
Okay.
If that's okay.
That's wonderful. Put your name affiliation on the record, please, Rob.
For the record, Rob Earl, staff to Representative Herron. And I just wanted to go over briefly the changes in the rules CS. The only change, Madam Chair, is the addition of Section 5, which starts on page 2, line 20. This section deals with ADA's loan participation program. As you know, ADA is not a direct lender, but through this program, ADA purchases a portion of a loan that is sponsored and originated by an eligible financial institution. This allows ADA to offer on their portion of the loan a lower interest rate and a longer term. Section 5 expands the definition of financial institutions that are eligible for ADA's loan participation program. Currently, who is eligible is not addressed in statute but in regulation. And currently, subsections 1 and 2, page 2, lines 25 through 20, page 2, lines 25 to 26, CFAB and commercial banks and et cetera listed there, these are already on the list of who is eligible in regulation. But on page 3, line 3, subsection 3, these types of entities described here are not currently eligible. An investment manager regulated by the SEC, including managers to pensions and other retirement funds. So if I may be so bold, Madam Chair, it would seem the two salient points to consider in adopting the rule CS would be, number one, whether to place in statute who is eligible for ADA's loan participation program. Number two, whether or not the investment management entities described in subsection 3 should be eligible or not.
All right, thank you. Are there questions from members of the committee for Rob? We do have other people here who are willing to testify too. Representative Newman?
I'll
Representative Curtula?
If I'm reading it right, it looks like this would allow a loan to be made to someone who makes, what, $200,000 annually and has $1 million in the bank? I mean, it's using their pension plan. Can you tell me who would be eligible then for the loans?
Madam Chair, I think I may have to defer to Ed on that question. I'm sorry.
Okay. We do have members here. Representative Gardner.
Thank you. Was the issue of that's addressed in page 3, line 3, was that discussed in committee?
This would be the first time through the chair that it would be discussed.
So, Madam Chair, is that a technical change or a substantive change?
I made an agreement to hear this amendment in this committee, so that's why we have other folks from ADA here to testify. So, okay. Why don't we follow through with having them testify and then?
Okay.
Great. Hopefully, our questions are answered, and then we'll go from there and make a decision on what we're going to do with this. And we welcome Representative Heron to the committee.
Good morning.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, it's my assumption that CS/C is a version that has an amendment that I saw earlier to the original bill, /A.
You're correct. And it has not been adopted. It's on the table for discussion.
Thank you, Madam.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you. I do have a question for the sponsor, Madam Chair.
Sure.
On the matter of establishing eligibility in statute rather than in regulation, is the reason for that to include the section on page 3, expanding the eligibility?
Through the chair, Representative Gardner, I believe that's correct.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, Rob, thank you so much. If you could, can you stay with us in case we... Okay, thank you. All right, also we have here in the audience to testify Jan Sieberts, Ted Leonard, and Mark Davis, and then available for questions, just for members' knowledge, is Chris Anderson with ADA, Brian Bjorquist from ADA, and Sarah Fisher-Goad from ADA. So, Jan, would you like to come forward, please?
I'm understanding it.
Madam Chairman.
Hello, welcome.
Members of the committee, I'm Jan Sieberts. I'm employed by Washington Capital Management and Investment Advisor to Pension Fund.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a banker and in the finance industry for 42 years. And have some considerable knowledge, I think, of the ADA programs. My comments here today may be directed or reflect Washington Capital Management, but what we're really doing is talking about a class of potential participants in the ADA program being all pension funds, which could expand ADA's capacity to create economic development in the state. So I have some written comments here. Our interest in becoming a participant with ADA and creating economic development in the state of Alaska. We believe our experience, knowledge of Alaska market and technical systems meet the qualifications to become an ADA originator. As an investment advisor, we currently manage approximately $1.7 billion in real estate investments for our pension fund clients. Many of these beneficiaries of these funds are residents of the state of Alaska, and we've made numerous real estate investments within the state. Our income fund would likely be a participant with ADA. Washington Capital is an investment advisor to the fund. Bank of New York Mellon is the trustee of these funds. Mortgage Income Fund is an open-ended, commingled fund with 40 investors, all of which are pension funds. The Income Fund is funded by cash. There is no leverage. To my knowledge, there is no bank headquartered in Alaska that has this large of a capital account. And by nature, the banks are heavily leveraged. Many of the beneficiaries of our funds are Alaska residents. It is clear to us that the intent of the founding ADA legislation anticipated the inclusion of pension and retirement funds. Under Section 4488, it states, stimulating commercial and industrial growth and expansion by encouraging an increase of private investment by banks, investment houses, insurance companies, and other financial institutions, including pension and retirement funds, to help satisfy the need for economic expansion. I do not find any language in this chapter that leads me to believe there is any intent to limit pension fund participation in ADA programs. On the other hand, in ADA regulations, financial institutions mean a federally or state chartered institution authorized to perform banking functions within the state of Alaska. It limits the participation in the programs to banks. This seems in conflict with the intention of the original law. We would recommend changes to the law so that participants could include financial institutions, including pension and retirement funds, that have the underwriting expertise, historical performance, knowledge of the market to underwrite loans and license to do business within the state. And in our case, we have an office in the state. ADA has become an important secondary source of long-term financing for businesses in Alaska, and in the late 80s and early 90s, precipitated economic recovery from an era when half the banks in the state failed. It seems that in these uncertain times, it would be desirable to have for ADA to have partners that are structured differently than commercial banking system that has struggled nationwide.
All right, thank you, Jan. Could you provide a copy of your statement to the members of the, or we'll make copies, of, would you mind?
Well, this is kind of scratched up. I'll retype it. And
oh, that'd be wonderful. Okay, that'd be great. Questions, Representative Newman?
Madam Chair, Mr. Sieberts. Is Washington Capital, is it a bank or are you brokers or is it a brokerage company?
Washington Capital is an investment advisor, and we're an investment advisor like the advisors to the permanent fund and to the state retirement system. And what we do is we, for our clients, or for many of our clients, is go out and pool together real estate investments. We have two primary funds. One is a real estate equity fund, and the other is a real estate loan fund. And what we're looking here is the loan funds would be to participate with ADA. And, you know, we put on our equity fund, for instance, we put up, you know, over $30 million, which precipitated the building of the JL Towers in Midtown. We're the largest owner of that building, and we are 90% owner of St. Elias Long-Term Acute Care Hospital, which is the only long-term acute care hospital in the state of Alaska. And we have loans on numerous projects.
Follow-ups.
So, Mr. Sieberts, I think what I'm trying to get to is, are you, I guess, a broker then? So you broker banking opportunities. You know, you work with different groups, and you work as a brokerage house to, or like an investment capitalist group, or to invest
under
in those?
No, Securities and Exchange Commission rules, we are an investment advisor.
Just an investment excuse me,
right.
Madam Chair.
And as a role as an investment advisor, we pool these, we go out and put together these real estate investments for these pension funds. And then the assets of the funds are held by Bank of New York in a trust relationship.
Thank you. For the members of the committee, it's apparent to me, and I can feel all of the vibes that you are all sending me, that there's very substantive changes to the bill. This is not just technical. So what I would like to do is have those people who are here to testify come forward, put their testimony on the record. If we could save questions till after that, with this large of changes, I believe the original version will be going to the floor, which is version S. But what I would like to hear the testimony of those people that are here.
Could I take advantage of having this
gentleman? Yes, you sure may, Representative Olson.
This is something you've been considering for a long time, I would suspect.
Yeah, I started talking to the ADA board in 2006 under a previous administration.
Can you tell us why it's hitting the committee the day before the bill goes onto the floor rather than at the beginning of the process when it could have been vetted by several committees that probably would have a direct interest in it?
Well, you know, frankly, I came down, you know, I hadn't anticipated a bill, but I came down and talked to a number of legislators about our problems in trying to become, getting ADA to change their regulations to include the participants that were originally anticipated in the underlying bill, and finally, it was suggested that an amendment be made to the bill. It was no sort of, you know, devious sort of intent to come in at the last moment and create a situation. So I was encouraged to do this.
The bill was right across the first time, I believe, March 2nd. So, I mean, it's been out there for well over a month, and then to bring this in the day before it hits the floor naturally makes me a bit suspect about, no offense, but your intentions, and, you know, you had a vehicle going by that you thought you'd, well, it does not look like the proper way to do it.
Well, you know, I'm not a lobbyist. You know, I'm not part of the legislative process. And like I said, we've been involved in this process and been stonewalled for 4 years. And it was suggested to me that by members of the legislature that this be the route that go. Now, I could have done, you know, the thought wasn't in my mind earlier in the session. And like I said, I've never been an elected official of the state of Alaska. And what we're asking here is nothing more than what was suggested in the original underlying intent of the law.
One final follow-up?
Yes, sir.
Did you discuss this with the sponsor of the bill before you dropped the amendment in? Or have you had any discussions with the sponsors of the bill?
Well, I'm not sure who all the sponsors were, so I'm gonna...
All right, thank you. All right, thank you. Jan, I appreciate you being here and the information and stuff that you do have to add to this. If we could just ask members to hold questions, and Ted Leonard is here from ADA. Ted, could please come up to answer questions? Thank you, Jan. I believe you have testimony too, so please.
Yes.
Oops. Sorry about that. Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes. For the chair, I am Ted Leonard. For the record, excuse me. I am Ted Leonard, and I'm the executive director of ADA. And with me, I have Mark Davis, our economic development officer.
Okay.
Sarah Fisher-Gold, our director of operations. On the phone is Chris Anderson, our Deputy Director of Commercial Finance, which runs these programs, and also Brian Bjorkvist, which is with the Attorney General's Office.
All right, thank you.
Okay, just very quickly, I'd just like to introduce Mark Davis. He'll be the one that could answer the technical questions. The really only point or concern that I have as the Executive Director of ADA is putting something in statute that we believe needs the flexibility of being in regulation based on the fact that financial markets change. And for example, as Mr. Seberg stated, there are several different identities identified in that section of law that he referenced. It calls insurance companies, investment houses, and all of those, we would believe, would have a reason to be looked at if they came to us asking to be loan originators. And we believe the proper vehicle would be through regulations. And we have met with Mr. Sieberts, and we are willing to look at this, and he is correct. He's been looking at this for approximately 10 years, but I just got here about 2 years ago, and we are in the process of changing. Recognizing that investment or pension funds would be a valuable source, but we also would state that in section 4488.010 goes across all our programs. So personally, I'm not sure if the loan participation is the best program or if we do need in statute a new program that deals better or could better fit those type of companies. But our goal is to bring new investment into the state, and we're looking at what tools can do that. And as I said, my main concern would be putting in statute that would limit our ability through regulation to bring in new capital. So I'd be worried that this could have the opposite effect of the intention of this amendment.
All right, thank
and
you.
I have Mark Davis, our economic development officer, has much more expertise with these type of entities.
Thank you, Ted. It's clear to me this needs much more vetting than this committee has the authority and was intended to. So what I would like to do is have members save their questions, and Rob, Earl, if you could come back up to the table for a minute. I said the wrong version earlier, version A. Version P is the correct version. There was one minor change in finance to that version, if you could address that. And that's one minor change to the original bill.
Correct, Madam Chair. We added a language about that members of the board would serve at the governor's pleasure, and this is just to make sure that the governor has the ability to remove public members as well as appoint them.
All right, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Newman.
Just for clarifying, the working document currently is version / P. There was a motion to adopt a new CS, but that a new CS has not been adopted. But so the working document is version P?
That's correct.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
That is correct. All right. Are there any questions for Rob? Thank you for that very succinct explanation. Okay, so with that, 363 is going to go to the floor, version P. And Representative Gardner.
Excuse me for interrupting you. I do have a question for Rob Earl, if I might.
Sure.
This language of working at the pleasure of the governor for two-year terms, do we find that elsewhere with other authorities or commissions or boards?
It is elsewhere in statute through the chair. I don't have that right handy, but it is definitely elsewhere in statute.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, so with that, if people could please set aside 363. If you can withdraw the motion.
I withdraw the motion to it.
All right, are there any objections to withdrawing the motion for version C?
P.
No. Version C, the original one we were discussing.
The way I'm forced.
Right, major changes.
Don't we keep the objection to C and move P?
We can keep the objection or withdraw the motion.
Either. Your call, Madam Chair.
I just heard you say you'd like to withdraw the motion, so the motion is withdrawn.
Would you like me to continue on?
Yes.
I would move to report House Bill 36326, LS 1503 / P, out of committee with individual recommendations in the attached fiscal notes.
Are there any objections? All right. We'll take an at ease for a moment while folks sign. Is Senate Bill 163.
Madam Chair, I move to adopt a committee substitute for Senate Bill 163 rules for purposes of discussion.
Are there any objections? All right, if we could have Senator Pascavan come forward, and if you and your staff would please identify yourself for the record. Welcome to our committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and other members of the committee. My name is Joe Pascvan, Senator for Fairbanks and Fort Wainwright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Jake Hamburg, staff to Senator Joe Pascvan.
Thank you. Welcome. Could you tell us briefly the changes that were made?
Yes, as a brief introduction, and then I'll have Mr. Hamburg explain the changes. Senate Bill 163 before you updates the Alaska Fishermen's Fund benefit limit to $10,000, and this will bring the program back to providing a meaningful level of assistance as a payer of last resort for commercial fishermen and crew that sustain injuries or illness while fishing. And that was the original bill, and then Mr. Hamburg can provide to you the details on the amendments.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. There's really two changes to the bill. The first one is to allow the council to do what they've always done in the past. Upon recent investigation, it turns out that under current statute, the commissioner is the one to make the decision on claims and appeals. But what's been the practice since the beginning is that the council made those decisions. So we decided to put that in statute so that the council could continue to do what they've always done. The other change is to allow for vessel owners who have indemnity insurance that may have a deductible of $10,000 or more to seek a 50% reimbursement for the deductible of a injured crew member's claim against that insurance. The reason that we opted for 50% was because we still wanted there to be an incentive for the vessel owner to operate a safe vessel. And so having that buy-in of 50% still preserves their incentive.
All right, thank you for that testimony. Are there questions from members of the committee? Representative Gardner?
Thank you. I just have a question, Madam Chair. From whom would the vessel owner be paid the claim? From the insurance company, and would that reduce the amount going to the injured worker?
Representative, through the chair, Representative Gardner, the way I believe that the fund itself is funded with a portion of the license fees that are collected, and speaking specifically to the deductible, for example, if the deductible was $10,000, the fund would only pay up to $5,000, and so that would be the uncompensated fund or uncompensated portion of the bill. This fund is a payer of last resort, so if there was a $10,000 deductible, then the injured crewer would owe $10,000. This would just pay $5,000 of that.
Thank you, Madam. Just to make sure I understand, and that would have no impact at all on the crew member, but just on the fund.
Mr. Hamburg.
Madam Chair, Representative Gardner, the vessel owner is required to pay the deductible, and so the Fisherman's Fund would reimburse the vessel owner up to 50% of that deductible, as I understand it. And so the only impact would be to the Fisherman's Fund.
Thank you.
All right, and Senator, so the changes that were made to this were strictly that dollar amount, correct?
The 50%. That is the amendment, yes. And then the first change was just putting in statute the practice of the commission.
Okay. All right, Representative Petrula.
So I'm confused about Section 3 of the bill. Can you explain to me just how it's going to work? It looks, and here's my confusion, it looks like the vessel owner might not get it's the deductible.
You're not controlling what the insurance company does. The insurance company, let's say the vessel owner paid out $1 million. You're not controlling what the insurance company gives back to him. You're controlling how much the fund pays him back, and that would just be 50% of the deductible or the $5,000, whichever was less. Is that right?
I believe, through the chair, I believe that is absolutely correct.
Okay. So the insurance company could come back in with the $95,000. It's just that the fund would reimburse, let's say it was a $5,000 deductible, they'd give him 50% or the $5,000. Is that right?
Through the chair.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks. Now, reminding members that we're not discussing whether one likes or doesn't like the bill. We're talking about the technical amendment that was made here. Is everyone clear on the changes that were made? All right. Representative Olson, I would entertain a motion.
I move to report CS for Senate Bill 163, Rules, out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
All right, are there any objections? All right, thank you. We'll take a brief at ease. Thank you, Senator Pastor.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. On the record now, everybody's favorite committee house rules, and we have before us potentially a motion. Representative Olson.
I move to adopt Senate Joint Resolution 28 for purposes of discussion.
All right. Any objections? Okay, seeing none, this is adopted. And we have with us Senator Meyer.
Yes.
Who misses us greatly.
I do.
And his staff, if both of you would identify yourself for the record and
very good.
Explain the change.
Okay, thank you. And good morning, Madam Chair and members of the House Rules Committee. For the record, I am Senator Meyer from Senate District O, and this is Christine Marsagan.
Christine Marsagan, staffer to Senator Meyer.
Trusty staff. This resolution has been a challenge for me in a couple ways. First of all, it's forced me to learn about the religious challenges in Turkey, and I understand Representative Gardner has been there, so maybe she can tell us firsthand, but then also just how to pronounce some of these, these words. I apologize up front because I'll probably mess up on them, but I'll do my best. I'm here to introduce SJR 28, which relates to religious freedom for the Ecumenical Patriarch in Turkey. This issue was brought to my attention by a friend who's active in the Greek Orthodox Church in Anchorage, which is on the southern boundary, O'Malley Road, of my district. And to date, there's 25 state legislatures have adopted similar resolutions as the one before you today. SJ 28 would urge the United States, the European Union, and the United Nations to encourage the government of Turkey to end its discrimination and pledged to uphold and safeguard religious rights without compromise. The state of Alaska has a substantial Orthodox Christian community. There are currently 95 Russian Orthodox churches in the state with approximately 20,000 members. The Greek Orthodox Church in Anchorage has about 200 members, and there are also Orthodox churches located throughout the state, Homer, Eagle River, Wasilla, and they have approximately 450 members. This fall, the United States Department State Department will deliver copies of these resolutions that have been adopted throughout the United States to the Turkish Foreign Minister. I appreciate the Rules Committee hearing this bill and urge all of you to support this resolution for religious freedom. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Meyer. Are there any questions? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Myers, since this is going to the Foreign Minister of Turkey, could we put in their language that allows us to fly over their airspace if we really need to also? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Representative Herron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, as well, that you have constituents and of course, you mentioned all the churches. I have communities where this faith is by far the dominant faith in several of my villages. But I guess the question is this a recent phenomenon of this prejudice, or is it generations, is it centuries, or is it recent?
To the chair, Representative Herron, I'm going to let Christine, who knows more of the history, speak to this, but it's my understanding it's been going on for quite a while.
Representative Herron, through the chair. In answer to your question, yes, this is something that's been going on for quite some time, and every president since President Jimmy Carter has sent envoys and messages to the government of Turkey trying to keep an eye on this. It has at times gotten better and at other times gotten worse, and according to Stephen Jorgensen, who is the national coordinator for all these resolutions, they've seen progress in the last 5 years, and so they want to continue that pressure to, for example, turn back over an orphanage that was taken from the church in the early 70s, which looks like it might reopen.
So, Madam Chair, just so this is a 30-year phenomenon, or is it again, is it generational, or is it, are we talking 100 years, or is it just 25 years?
Madam Chair, if I might. Representative Herron, was your question to Representative Gardner?
Please.
I was in Turkey last year, and it actually goes back to before the Crusades. As a matter of fact, I mean, it's a long, long-standing centuries.
All right, thank you for that clarification, Representative Fertula.
Is it the Secretary of State that's going to be delivering these resolutions then?
Representative Fertula, through the chair, it is my understanding that yes, she will be.
Should we include her in the people that the resolution should be sent to?
My understanding, Representative Curtula, through the chair, that the because the resolution ends up going to the ambassador to that area, that that is the way that that's done.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Curtula. All right. Senator Meyer, good work. Thank you. Christine, good work. Thank you for joining us in our committee.
Manager, in previous committees, the Orthodox priests have testified, and they would have been here too to answer some of the history that you're asking. But of course, you don't take public testimony here, so we ask them not to come.
Right, and I do. Just for the record, I have many constituents in my district, and actually a church of this, so I'm very familiar, and I know that those constituents will appreciate your work on this also. With that, Representative Olson, I would entertain a motion, please.
I'd move to report SJR 28 out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Are there any objections? All right, seeing none, this bill has moved to the floor, and we're adjourned, and the time is 9:45.